Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We've been rocking right along here without you. We're glad you're here. And if you've been listening already, thank you for that. I know you're pretty excited about that. You're going to be happier than you have been because Nell Merlino is here, ladies and gentlemen. Nell is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a real good friend of ours, and a good friend of yours, whether you know it or not, especially if you're a lady who's interested in small business, and especially if you're a lady who has a small business. Nell is the co-founder and CEO of Count Me In, and she helps women business owners all over the place like crazy, and she is a little bit crazy, which is what we like about her. Nell, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Jim.
Is there anything I just said that wasn't accurate, including the crazy part?
No, I'd say it's all pretty accurate, because I'm so crazy. I have this goal of getting 1 million women out there to $1 million in revenue by the year 2010.
How about that? What can we do to help?
Well, we have this extraordinary opportunity coming up in Burbank, California. We are going to be doing one of our live Make Mine a Million Dollar Business events on January 23rd. So if you're sitting there looking at, you know, sort of what your year end's going to be and know that you could be bigger and better and want to find out how to do that, you go to makeminamillion.org, fill out our application, you know, come on out to our event, and you can watch women. Their business is growing right in front of you. Jim, we are going to have 30 women out of a program for 2007. 30 out of 65 are going to get to $1 million in revenue.
Wow.
By December 31st. The
wow.
speed at which they are growing is so incredible.
You know, Nell, I'm so proud of you, and I've said this many times before, and I've told other people, even when you weren't around, how proud I am of you. A lot of people have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have a vision, but it's only one in a million who actually says, you know what, I'm going to make this happen, and then does it, and you've done it, and I tell you, my hat's off to you.
Well, thank you, and you know what inspires me the most. Is the women I meet who own small businesses, who make a decision, they've been stuck, some of them, you know, at $250,000, $300,000 in revenue for, you know, a couple years, sometimes 5-6 years.
What is it that sticks them? Is it confidence? Is it capital? What is it?
What gets them stuck? Self-confidence is the first thing. You really got to believe. You got to believe in yourself. And in your product or your service, you got to believe. And then you got to put together the right team of people. Too many of us are out there trying to do this all by ourselves.
And see, this is an issue, this last one you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
this is an issue for men and women.
Absolutely. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do believe that men have, you know, our runaway ego helps us overcome some of that. And you and I have talked about this before.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing that we'd like to give women a little extra dose of, and that's a little more self-confidence. But
yeah.
but when it comes to being a little frightened, a little intimidated by getting an organization, by growing to the point where you need an organization where you've got all this management involved, that intimidates both genders.
Yes, and I think what we've seen is women bring their wonderful multitasking behavior from home into the business. And sometimes that's not the best thing to do, because the sooner you get a team around you, and it could be, you know, it could be one or two people, but what we've learned in this and what we've seen as these businesses grow, you know, two, three brains are better than one.
Right.
And so it's growing, and it's then learning how to delegate to those folks. So you, as the founder of the business, or the CEO, are doing what you're best at, which is usually going out and building the business. And you got other people doing the important tasks of you know going out and dealing with customers or getting the products made or whatever
right.
it is. But we've seen that, and then getting more comfortable with your financials. I think there's a lot of still sort of unknown or
and that's an issue that is no respecter of genders either.
Yep. And so we really work on that with people, get people comfortable with those. But we are just seeing something so exciting. I mean, we have a couple of women coming up on December 31st who have gone from 600,000 to 16 million in 18 months.
Wow. Hold on to that thought, Mel. Now, yep. We're going to be right back with Nell Merlino, ladies and gentlemen. I've got something I want to talk to her about that might get me in a little bit of trouble. But I'm going to risk it. 2012, stay with us.
Turn around and see you in a crowded place. Watch for the emotions on a guarded face.
We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Nell Merlino, somebody I admire very much. For what she's accomplished in her life, just the things that she's overcome to have the success that she has, and how you've translated that into a formula that mm-hmm. helps other women. That's agape love, and I like talking about agape love here on the show
uh-huh.
now, because agape love is when you do something for people you don't even know, when you
uh-huh.
put yourself at risk, when you put yourself out for people you don't even know, and that's what you're doing. I mean, the people who you're making this available for, this Make Mine a Million program for, you don't know those guys. Now, maybe you will know them, but you won't know them when they start out.
Well,
so
you can't
admire
know all
you for
of
that.
Them. You can't know all of them, but what I know is that there are plenty of women out there that have the ambition and want to take the risk and want to grow their business, and they're doing it, and that's so exciting for me.
What made those women go from 600,000 to 16 million in 18 months? What was the jet engine that you strapped to their back to make them do that?
You know, in the case, her name is Garnet Newcomb. She has a business called Human Potential in Southern California, and what helped Garnet was learning how to delegate.
Mm-hmm.
She finally began to feel like
she found the power of delegating,
didn't
she?
She really started to understand it. We hook people up with coaches so that they work with a business coach, you know, as part of the Make Mine a Million Dollar Business program. And in two or three conversations, the coach understood that if she left her cell phone in the office and stopped calling back into the office when she was out selling, she'd
uh-huh.
sell more.
Yeah.
And she now has contracts.
Those little bitty distractions for the
yep.
CEO will eat you alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she got the people around her that she needed, and she has just taken off.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest impediment? We talked about self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a theory that I'd like to run by you.
Sure.
And you know my folks, this is where I might be treading on some dangerous ground here, but Nell knows I love her, and of course my credentials for promoting women business ownership go back 10 years, and so. Now here's my theory. Gray, who wrote the book Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
In that book, it got socially accepted that women didn't want you to solve their problems. They just wanted you to listen to them. If they had
uh-huh.
a problem and they told their man about it, their guy, a guy about it, he
uh-huh.
would stand up immediately and say, well, let's get this fixed. And, they,
uh-huh.
and that wouldn't be a good thing, because she didn't want the problem solved. She just wanted you to listen to her.
Uh-huh.
And that became generally accepted over the last 20 years or so.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that kind of thinking is detrimental to women in business. And my point is I don't think women should take that attitude into their business, because it's not a badge of honor to be able to multitask and manage a bunch of problems, a bunch of challenges, a bunch of issues. What the key to success in business is to fix those issues and get them off your table and out of your hair. Now, what do you think?
You know, I agree with you. I mean, and I'm surprised that I do, but I absolutely do, because what I've seen too much of is that women do come into the program, and I don't work with enough men business owners, so I'm not sure what their issues are, but they do have these issues that they just think they got to keep carrying around with them,
and they become proud of themselves because they manage them so well.
Yeah, and in fact, maybe you don't need to be managing them at all.
Exactly.
We talk a lot about strategic bottom line thinking. What is going to get you where you want to go? And if that problem you've been managing just, I mean, to the point of saying where people have a whole line in their business that at some point was generating income for them or was getting them, you know, in front of different potential customers, and as they've really grown the business, that's no longer a big income generator for them. Stop doing it.
Right.
Don't keep doing it if it is not your primary source of income and the direction that you want to take the company.
It's not one of your children. You don't have to hang on to them.
Yeah, exactly. And well, you know, the other place that we see this issue in a different way is in hiring and firing people.
Yeah.
They take on someone. I mean, you often,
they adopt
as
them.
A new
they
business owner, sometimes you hire the wrong person.
Now, that is a small business thing. It's not just a female thing.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you hire,
I'm guilty.
You hire the
I'm
wrong
guilty
person
of that myself.
And you hold on to them thinking you got to solve that problem,
yeah.
As opposed to if you feel it's the wrong person, the person who you've hired usually knows it's wrong, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
but I do. I agree with you.
I think move on.
I think that's an intrinsically maternalistic thing to do, and I've seen it as a consultant many times before, and it's tough to do. It's tough for all of us to do, but you're right. You got to make those hard decisions, don't you?
Yeah, and I think often the sooner that you do, the person's happier and the business is better off.
Yeah.
That's I think where I see it the most is either in not hiring someone because you're not sure and you don't mm-hmm. want to take on the responsibility, or in doing it and you make a mistake and then you feel like you know you're just stuck with them, and you're not stuck with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you're stuck with your family, but you don't have to be stuck with employees or consultants who aren't working for you.
Mm-hmm. Or vendors. Or vendors
thing, yeah.
who aren't part of the solution.
Exactly.
Or customers that are unprofitable.
You got
to learn how to get rid of. Maybe we should just Hey, you know what, folks? That turn I didn't get hurt that time. I thought sure I'd get a bump on the head or something, but Nell was pretty kind to me.
No, I think we all have so much to learn.
Yeah, we do.
In the process of growth.
Hold on to that thought, Nell Marlena. Sure. I told you we'd have fun and get smarter when Nell joined us. 10 till I'm Jim Blasting Game. Stay with me.
Outside the pull of gravity, beyond the spectral veil, within our cavalries, the thing we search to no avail.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. We're visiting with our good friend Nell Merlino, the co-founder and CEO of Count Me In. And folks, if you go to, do you want them to go to Count Me In or Make Mine a Million? Which one?
I think for right now, going to makemineamillion.org is the place to go.
And tell us again what we're going to find there.
Women are going to find an application. It's a national application, so anywhere in the country, if you're listening and you want to have a $1 million business, you go to makemineamillion.org, fill out our application. We have a live event in Burbank, January 23rd. It is an incredible experience.
Is this just for United States citizens?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, United States is, I mean, people who are working in the United States, I mean, if you've got a Social Security number,
it's just a U.S. offer.
You're operating a business here, it's fine.
We got people listening on the other side of the planet on the internet. It's not for you can go there and check out the website, folks. It's just not.
Yes, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But people who are right, it's for people who are operating businesses in the U.S.
What about Count Me In? You got a website there too, right?
Absolutely, and Count Me In will tell you all kinds of things for people who are starting businesses, because there is an opportunity in Make Mine a Million for women who are not ready to get to a million, but we put you on the road to a million. It's a micro to millions program, and so there are opportunities for all different stages of business, because I know Jim's probably told you these numbers before, but out of the 10.5 million women who own businesses in the United States, only 243,000 are at a million. Yeah. And we have a goal of getting a million women to a million, and we already have over 35,000 women signed up on our website who are committed to growing their business to a million.
Now, is that countmein.org?
Countmein.org and makemineamillion.org. They're all linked up together.
A lot of home-based businesses out there that women owned, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if those 200-something thousand who are a million or more, I wonder how many of those businesses started at the kitchen table.
I think a lot of them. I mean,
I would say most of them.
I would say most of them started at the kitchen table, and I would say most of those 243,000 have probably moved out of homes, or they've built bigger homes around the business. I mean, you know, there are a couple different ways to go there. Mainly because, you know, to grow to that level, we have watched as women get to about a million, you got to have 4 to 6 people working with you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean they're all employees, but you've got to be working with enough brains and hands to handle that kind of revenue and that kind of business, and also to stay focused on growing it.
You know what I think is exciting for all business owners, small business owners, but especially for women, is the fact that with technology, you can get to $1 million in revenue with about a whole lot fewer employees than you would have 10, 20 years ago.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. It is, you know, it depends on the business. I mean, but that's certainly true. Yes.
Well, you know, even a retail shop has we have technology now that helps you manage your inventory, manage your finances, manage your sales, that surely will cut one employee out. You know, the need for one employee. You know, small businesses are the engine of economic and job-building growth in this country. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're not already doing our part, but, one of the things we don't do is we don't open up a business to be able to hire more people.
That's true.
We know we're going to hire people, but the main thing is to make the company healthy and to make a profit and earn money for the stakeholders.
But I err on the side of making sure women understand they need to hire somebody, because there's too many of us working by ourselves.
No, you're right about that. Even if it's just a part-timer, just start with a contractor.
That's right. I would recommend that.
I don't think we should diss the contractor side of me. It doesn't have to be an employee. It could just be somebody else. Because the key is, and this is what another one of my mentors told me once, now, when you stop being 100% extension of yourself, that's when you'll start growing.
That's right.
Because when it's just you, everything that happens, you got to do it. You need some leverage, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Okay,
yes, you do.
Quickly, tell us about the event in Burbank again before we go.
It's January 23rd, Burbank, California. It's at the Globe Theater at NBC Universal, so it should be fabulous. And we have now, I mean, Jim, I haven't even talked to you about this, the number of major companies that are supporting us now and have expressed their belief in women growing their business to a million is just huge. We've recently been joined by Dell. Every woman who wins the Make Mine a Million competition now gets a laptop computer from Dell.
Wow.
I mean, we've got... Yeah, no, we're doing great.
Hey, Nell, I'm going to say it again. I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you, Jim, and it's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah. We'll see you next time. Keep up the good work. Nell Merlino, ladies and gentlemen, she's a visionary, and she makes it happen. She doesn't just dream about it. She makes those dreams come true, not just for herself, but for other people as well. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners who make dreams come true, too. And I'm proud of you, too, guys. See you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.